Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 473 of Power Rangers Ninja Storm, episode 15, Pork Chopped.
It aired on May 17th, 2003, written by Steve Slavkin. Have I said that name before?
Yes.
Okay.
He showed up a couple times.
And directed by Charlie Haskell. Old Chuck.
Old Chucky H.
You might remember.
Charlie Haskell.
From
the world's greatest tag team.
Such hits as Return of Thunder Part 4.
Oh no, that was not a great one.
And his other big hit, Boxing Bopperoo.
Oh, he did Bopperoo? Okay, well,
it was better, but still,
No, I think Bopperoo is actually the worst episode we've seen so far.
Well, it's not worse than the individual parts 3 or part 4.
That is true. Anyway, today we're watching Pork Chopped, and joining us, we have a very special guest, Christina Woods. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. I have finally made it onto a Hey Jake and Josh podcast episode, and now I can retire from podcasting.
Yeah, you've done it.
I've done it. My journey is complete.
So thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on.
Thanks for pushing the date back when Josh had I guess he fought mice all night.
It was one mouse.
Just one? Okay.
Yeah.
One is just bad enough.
A very crafty mouse.
I mean, it may even still be in here. It managed to hide from the cats all night, and we gave up and went to bed.
Okay.
But yeah, it got into this room, and it got behind and underneath the bookshelf where no one can reach it. So
you have my condolences.
You guys will know if it runs across my feet or not.
Yep.
Because you'll jump into space. Christina, when we have guests on, we ask them a couple questions. So the first one is, what is your history with Power Rangers?
Okay, I was doing like a mental, you know, like scroll back through my history a couple days ago to try and like prepare for this.
Sure.
And I think my earliest memory of Power Rangers is that when I was growing up, I am 90% sure that I had an action figure of Lightspeed Yellow, so Kelsey.
Okay.
But the first time that I remember watching Power Rangers was actually Ninja Storm.
Okay.
Probably because at that point I had phased out of watching the Pokemon animated series on my Saturday mornings.
Sure.
And since they were free, I was like, I'll try Power Rangers. Also because I was one of those kids, you know, who thinks that pink is the absolute worst because it's traditionally feminine, because, you know, internalized misogyny, whatever, I'm better.
A common theme.
Yeah, yeah. So I was very excited that they had a girl ranger who wasn't pink. And I very much so latched onto Tori. Nice. I think at one, I definitely like had the toy version of like Tori's Ninja Morpher. And the last time that I was clearing some stuff out of my parents' house, I found like, not a notebook, but like a scrapbook or something that I'd made for class when Ninja Storm was airing. And I had in fact drawn Tori's like dolphin tail ninja emblem on the inside cover.
Nice.
So I watched probably Ninja Storm and Dino Thunder, but then I fell off the Power Rangers train, and I was like, you know, vaguely aware of it as it was like airing and stuff. But I didn't get back into Power Rangers until I think it must have been 2015. I saw a GIF from Dino Charge of the pink Dino Charge Ranger kicking a laser into pieces and it explodes, and I was like, maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so then I proceeded to binge watch all of Dino Charge that was available over the course of probably 8 hours while I was scanning in film negatives.
Oh dang.
And then like literally like within the next week, I was like, I'm making my own team of Power Rangers, and I just never got off. So
nice.
Yeah, it's weird. It seems to be like a consistent thing where someone fell off early on,
mm-hmm.
and then comes back in and stays here.
And then, yeah, and then you're just like, yeah. Well, good. I'm glad I'm back. I'm glad I mm-hmm. made it back.
Oh, yeah. I'm a little bit sad that I missed, like, I think Mystic Force would have really been my jam if I had been watching that as I was growing up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, that just means that in 2.5 years, I can watch it when y'all do it.
Yeah. That might be the season I'm most excited for, because it looks, everything visually is so good, and only one person has ever said anything good about it.
Is it Tanner?
And it's Tanner.
Yeah.
It's a very photogenic season at the very least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty stoked to see what they do with it.
I feel like it's a season where they realize, like, hey, we're filming in, you know, like, the natural wonderland that is New Zealand. Maybe we should take advantage of that and make it make it magic school trapped in forest thing or whatever it is.
This season does that a lot so far very well, too.
It was fun because I to prepare for this episode, I not only watched Pork Chopped, I also watched all of Ninja Storm up to this point.
So you're ready.
Yeah. And I feel like obviously they have to reuse locations probably quite a bit, but I'm 90% sure that the Cavern of Lost Souls or whatever comes back to play a pretty pivotal role in Dino Charge. I was like, I think that's the same cave.
Nice.
But I haven't gone back and confirmed it.
In 4 or 5 years when we get there, you can let us know. Because we will have forgotten entirely.
Me too.
So, who is your favorite Power Ranger?
If anyone listening to this knows me, then you probably know who my favorite Power Ranger is. It's Kendall Dino Charge, because she is literally me. I was going to say, if you would like, I can provide evidence. I can go get the homemade Power Rangers helmet I made when I was her for Halloween a couple years ago. Nice. I can get the 5 different action figures of Kendall Dino Charge that are on like my shelf over there, but believe me, she is one of my favorites. But Tori is also super great.
Is her name Kendall Dino Charge?
No. Her last name is Morgan.
Oh, okay.
But I provide Dino Charge in this context because there's just so many Power Rangers. And also because Kendall Morgan is also the name of Danny's girlfriend from Wild Force. So I need to make a distinction.
Is her last name Morgan?
Mm-hmm. Also like Kendricks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that ever said? Is her last name ever said in the show?
It's in the script.
Is whose last name ever said?
The first Kendall.
Yeah. Yes. Her last name is said because she like runs a museum, so everyone's like, "Oh, Miss Morgan." By Dino Charge, they get last names.
No. I meant, did they ever say Kendall Wild Force's last name? See, it's already confusing. Now I see why you did it.
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like, and also Kendricks' last name is Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta quit going back to that well.
Believe me, the fandom is like, Kendricks and Kendall are cousins. And I'm like, sure, why not? It's not the dumbest familial relationship to happen in Power Rangers.
I'm going to go ahead and guess what your favorite season is, but just for posterity, what's your favorite season?
Yes, it is Dino Charge.
Cool.
Damn, I was really betting on Operation Overdrive. Someone's going to say it one of these days.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt it. I think universally that is the most panned season.
But it's got to be somebody's favorite.
Someone's got to like it.
Yeah, it's a universal law that everything is someone's favorite.
Yeah, so I'm really sorry if it's your favorite, because from what I heard, it sucks. We're going to be dunking on it. If Megaforce is your favorite, I just want to know why you've never watched anything else on television ever before in your life.
Mm-hmm. From my understanding, at least a lot of the people that I follow who are into Power Rangers and support Megaforce mostly support it because there's apparently a relationship that a lot of people headcanon as two women being in love, and they're like, it's the closest the Power Rangers gets to lesbians in the modern era. So
modern era, sure.
Yeah, as I said,
Kelsey definitely straight up though.
Yeah.
Kelsey has a girlfriend by the end of episode 4, so is that Gia and Pink Ranger, who's
Gia and Emma, the season after they have Emily and Mia.
Well, boy. I'm sure a lot of people headcanon that because you'd have to, you can't wring a personality out of any given 3 Power Rangers on that show.
Yeah.
There's Jake and 4 bars of soap.
There's Jake, there's Jake, a bar of soap and a leather jacket. That's Gia, and then 3 other bars of soap.
Yeah.
Troy might be a block of wood pretending to be a bar of soap, and Noah might be invisible.
That somebody carved soap into. Yeah. The word soap.
Oh.
Oh. Anyway, we're going to dunk on that enough in the future. We can
check back in about 4 years.
yeah, in some time. I don't remember if we have any other questions. I guess, do you have a favorite monster?
I don't think so. A lot of the monsters of the week don't especially tend to like stick out to me, except for I think the Dozer Org are from Wild Force. I like him because because I could, when I was watching that episode, I could very clearly tell that it was Jason Font just doing a very like, I'm a Dozer Org voice.
Wait, was that Jason Font?
Yeah, that was Jason Font, dude.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Good for him. I think with that, we're going to go watch Pork Chopped.
Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Ninja Storm Ranger Form. And we're back, and we just watched the Doug crossover Power Rangers episode, Pork Chops.
There was no Dougs were filmed in the making of this episode.
Nope, there was no,
there were not.
No scat opening, no no Roger Klotz.
Did Disney own brand spanking new Doug by 2003? It had to have, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's, we could have gotten a Ninja Storm Doug crossover.
That's when Doug, Disney bought Doug and they put him in the long sleeves.
Yeah.
And they gave Roger like a different haircut. And Patty got her haircut.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Dink died. I think that's what they did to the Prince making new Doug. Hey, JakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. You can listen to old episodes of The Morphin Grid up through Lost Galaxy. And I have it on good authority that someone is self-quarantining. So maybe we can get some light sweet up there. You got the time.
See.
You got the time. You got a whole box of Twinkies behind you.
He's got the time, but does he have the internet speed?
Keep you energized?
This is an empty box of Twinkies. This is our mouse catching box.
Ah.
So.
You got a whole mouse catching kit. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
You can also go to our classic feeds. Those are updated through Terp, but maybe again, those will get updated as well. No pressure, Josh. You got nothing
else
going on.
Anything could happen.
You're just like the rest of the people who've been saying how bored they are at home now.
I never once said I was bored. I have a lot of Animal Crossing and WWE video games to play.
How? The last one was so bad.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay,
I don't know.
Look, in the state of the world right now, it's fun is good enough of a reason to do something.
You got me there.
What other video game can zombie Sasha Banks beat up Toni Storm in a hell wrestling ring? None.
They could have done so much more.
Oh no, they definitely could have.
They're not making 2K21. They're gonna skip it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that 2K22, they put in John Cena in the NWO mode.
They have a new producer or something. There's a new, like, maybe it's a game director or something, but he already has been online. He's been like, hey, tell me some stuff. Like, I want to, like,
alternate
listen.
Universe mode. You
I
want
to listen
so
to you guys a little bit instead of just, like, putting out bad video games every year.
That's good.
What a novel concept. Mm-hmm. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Epley Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podbay. We're on Podbay Beat. We're on Pod Chopped.
Pod Chopped.
It's not like the cooking show Chopped is exclusively for fight based podcasts. Like this one.
In our one episode of Gascast about WMAC Masters.
WMAC Masters rules. I don't think we actually did a Gascast. I think that was a bonus for the Morphin Grid.
No, maybe it was.
I think that was after Lost Galaxy when we couldn't find a movie that had anybody from Lost Galaxy in it.
Oh, bummer.
Except for the German dub of a movie that Serena Vincent was in that looked like it was shot on a Motorola Razr.
Ooh, yikes.
Why do these memories stay in my head? Why don't they leave me?
Brains are weird.
You can go leave us a rating review any of those places if you would like. We'd appreciate it. Also, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show. We really appreciate it. We have a couple new patrons, but we have a guest on, so we're going to skip all that other stuff. And we will get you next week at some point. Also, next week's a three-parter. This is only a one-episode week. I forgot about that until just now, and I'm really hoping that it sticks the landing better than the Return of the Thunder Rangers did.
Yeah. I mean, what? You don't want to watch, like, you don't want to watch Hunt, like, Hunter running around like, Blake!
Him being a Gak werewolf wasn't as bad as the fact that in episode 2, they're like, here's the stakes. And in episode 3, they're like, that was a lie. Don't even worry about any of that.
We're not going to talk about that ever again.
And then in episode 4, they're like, this is actually not related to that other three parts at all, because they fixed the problem. And then Jubo became little.
Look, they were doing the best they could with what they had.
They did so well with the Thunder Strangers arc. I thought we were clear of it, but then they wanted to do four parts, and I think they flew too close to the sun.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
So do you all want to jump in? Do Pork Chopped?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
We start off with Dustin and Shane, and they are like army crawling under a table, and it looks like they're doing a mission, but actually they're just trying to plug in the cable box so Sensei can watch some sci-fi movies.
Yeah. For on TV. For a hot second, I thought this was going to be another thing, like another kind of like, hey, let's see who wins this challenge training scenario, like back when they had that whole like fight yourself thing for the Jade Turtle rescue mission. And I was interested to see like which one of them would have won, but it's like, no, they're just plugging in a cable box.
But then Dustin holds up some RCA cables and you're like, oh, I see what's happening. They're trying to plug in a GameCube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that they're down army crawling underneath this table that's just in the middle of the room, and then they come out the other side and walk over to the wall where they plug it in.
Yeah, and the little TV, because Sensei has a tiny little hamster-sized TV that's like high def but little.
Yeah.
And that's also along the wall. And I just wonder if they could maybe have a more efficient cable routing system.
I mean, look, in their defense, Shane and Dustin are two teenage ninjas. Do you think they would not take the opportunity to do some fun ninja shenanigans to do simple tasks?
They also have a very long cable because Blake and Tori are fighting behind them. They're like sparring back and forth. Blake's like, I'm going to go easy on you. And Tori's like, don't let the blonde hair fool you. And then like throws him across the room.
Which was great.
He lands in this pile of cables and he's like, he got thrown, so he's like, I'm gonna counterattack, and so he like just like goes to punch and he just rips 500 yards of cable out of the wall, I guess.
Yeah,
it's all coiled up and it's a pink cable, which I've never seen before, and so when he stepped up with it, I'm like, did he land in somebody's bubble gum?
He landed in,
oh, that'd be terrifying,
in someone's what was that, what's that long bubble tape? Someone left some bubble tape on the ground.
6 feet of bubble tape.
Yeah,
for you. Not them.
Oh god, I just got rocketed back to the days of bubble tape.
I mentioned that I've been watching a lot of X-Plays. Some of them have commercials from the 2004 era. This is all on Tech TV. Do you know how many different, you could make video games, vocational schools had commercials in 2004?
I'm going to guess 100. At least 3. Oh, like, wow. There
was so many of them, and they all advertised on the same episodes of X-Play.
Look, they knew their market.
I guess. There's also a lot of, like, army recruitment, which I feel like is a weird portent of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yes. And then there was, like, one for Dentine Ice, like, Fire Edition, where some girl's like, Mom, Dad, this is my boyfriend. And then he puts in gum because he's nervous, and then she just straddles him and starts making out in front of her parents. And they're like, Dentine Ice, you want this too, don't you?
Nobody wants that.
No.
Okay. Weird. And there's also like four other horny commercials all in this one episode that just had its commercials. And I was like, were we okay? I guess they knew their market was like horny boys. But like, was everyone okay back then?
It was probably Axe.
There was an Axe. Yes.
They spray themselves with Axe, and then a million women come out of the ocean to rub on him.
Yeah.
I remember that one very distinctly.
I have a vague memory of that.
There was one, I think it was, I don't remember which Axe flavor it was, but he was running away from people with like German shepherds chasing him.
Yeah.
And so he scrubbed off with Axe as he was running and dove in a pool and then got up and like laid in a pool chair. And they were like, the dogs don't smell him anymore. And they walked away. And then he looked over and there's this like 45-year-old woman in a bikini next to him. Who, and it's like, oh, ooh, got her. Like, there you go. It's like, what are you doing, Axe? Come on.
One more quick Axe.
The chocolate
aside
one?
Aside here. Oh, yeah, the chocolate one where the guy turns into chocolate and the girls eat him.
I hate that.
Cannibalism.
Like, chocolate Axe just smelled like absolute. I can't even think of a word to describe how terrible it smelled.
It smelled bad. It was not a... I would not want to bite anybody wearing it, that's for sure.
Nope.
So... after this whole thing, at some point they're like, Sensei, why do you need cable? Shane hacked the satellites, and he's like, mm-hmm. that's for ninja business, not for a sci-fi marathon, a sci-fi movie marathon.
Mm-hmm. Dumb question here. Was Sensei trying to watch MST3K?
I think maybe.
I think it was Space Week. It's So he's trying to watch Space Mutiny and the other space ones that they have. Mm-hmm.
The other lesser-known space one.
Space Mutiny is the most important.
Oh, it's so important. Blast hard cheese.
I would say this. I would say the second most important Mr. Science Theater.
Yes, but the most important space-themed.
Yes, because Time Chasers is the most important. Did you see that man's chin? It was so big.
I mentioned like the MST3K thing because I think it was the first episode of Ninja Storm. They had that like weird... I realize this was probably like 2 months ago at this point for y'all. there was this one like cutaway during their first fight where it was like Cam and Sensei like sitting on a couch with the fight on a TV screen and they were riffing it like MST3K. And I was like, is that what this is trying to be?
I don't even remember that.
I don't remember that either.
I binge watched it on Sunday. It's still in my recent memory banks.
Yeah, we started watching it in March. So it's been a minute.
Yeah.
So Shane's like, hey, I got to practice for my skate demo. And Tori's like, oh, I got a thing. And he's like, but you're coming to the demo tomorrow at 3. And she's like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Storm Chargers, where Kelly and Blake are talking, I think, about something.
Yeah.
And Hunter comes in with two big tickets that...
they're like pamphlets.
They're like, they're huge. They're like magazines.
They're like promotional tickets. It's like, hey, we're giving away special tickets for the premiere of this movie. Here's your like big souvenir thing. So if you want, you can scrapbook it, I guess. Because this was still early enough when people were scrapbooking.
It read to me like when you go to a convention, how you get like the lanyard with like the big thing on it. It looked like a bigger mm-hmm. version of that, or possibly just a flyer for the thing. But later on, we will find out. No, those are just the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's for a martial arts movie marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Tori is also there. And Blake is like, hey, would you like to go to that with me?
It's I feel so bad. I feel bad for Hunter because he walks in like, bro, I got tickets. And then Blake's like, cool. Hey, Tori.
Would you like to go?
Would you like to go? And then my brother can be our third wheel.
Hunter's in the background like, come on.
Yeah, I thought they were going to make something out of that, but they didn't.
No, they go a very different way with it.
Because Hunter is visibly upset, like angry almost that Blake invited Tori. But then later it's fine.
I think he's like, oh, we were going to do this. But then he's like, my bro's got a date. So that's cool for him, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I love those old kung fu movies. And Hunter's like, yeah, they're showing Fists of Fury 2, Fists of Fire 2, which is what it's called over here. Over in China, it was actually Fire Fist, the first one. And the second one was called Fire Fist 2.
Fists of Fire.
Fists of Fire. Yeah. So she's like, cool, yeah. And he's like, cool, meet you there at 3. And she's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they leave. And then Kelly like sneaks up behind her like, she's so like, you're not going to the skate demo then?
Yeah. And then Tori's like, oh no. And then I think she literally like rides a bike away from her scheduling.
She's just on a bike in the store, just like riding it around.
She's like, well, I must be going now.
Yes.
Just like a teenager in Walmart. Just
yeah.
I'm gonna ride this bike around and then abandon it in housewares somewhere.
So then we cut to we don't cut. We kind of like zoom over, and Mara and Capri are in ridiculous half disguises.
Yeah. They actually look they're relatively looking like conventional teens.
I mean,
I don't know why they're just at Storm Charters.
I think they're just spying.
Yeah, I think so too, because they're almost like mannequins. They're just like kind of standing in a weird way. Mara definitely looks like a 70s mom.
She had a huge wig on. It looked like it was over, like stretched over her hair. Capri just had her regular hair for the most part, though.
Yeah.
But they had like big fishing, like scuba goggles on. And so their identities were concealed unless you knew about colors.
Yeah.
I think we cut from there to Lothor. Because he's like, oh yeah, finally something we can use. She's overscheduled herself.
Yes.
What? Lothor? What?
Look, at this point, he's dealt with 14 episodes of inefficiency. And he's like, at this point, we're just going to take what we can get.
Anything that comes our way, we're just going to give it a shot.
It's such a Rita mentality.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, she's stretched really thin today, huh? Oh, yes. you're double booked, eh?
Oh, Kim's got a parade afloat she's got to make, huh?
I'm going to just send a monster down to rip the flowers off of it.
Oh, Rocky just wants to have fun, huh? Yeah, so he's like, okay, cool. Zergain, what do you got for me? Zergain's like, hold on. And then a microphone comes down and like the world's worst Michael Buffer, which is impressive because Michael Buffer was previously the world's worst Michael Buffer. That guy sucks. And he grabs the microphone and he's like, coming from somewhere, something, 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 maybe a pig joke.
Oh, I have it written down.
Oh, do you, please.
Because it was so ridiculous. The Sultan of Sausage, the Prince of Pork, the Baron of Bacon, this episode sponsored by Farmers of America. And then, like, the monster of the week comes in, and his name is General Trafe. He comes in screaming, Pork Power! The other white meat.
If I don't catch their name this season, I've just been giving them alliterative names.
And I'm curious what you came up with.
The problem is I did catch his name. So I was like, because they introduce him like he's coming out to fight Jimmy King or whatever. So I'm like, okay, his name is Trafe. I think that's supposed to be like trough, like a play on trough, like a pig. But I don't know. I don't know where the joke is really in there. And then, so I was like, I'm just going to give him a different name. And I was just looking at him for a second. I was like, I don't know what other words start with P. But he has these big pauldrons on. So I was like, oh, pig pauldron or pauldron pig. But I put it as pig pauldron. But then autocorrect made it pig Paulson. So I called him pig Paulson for the rest of the time.
Pig Paulson. I love pig Paulson in American Horror Story.
No, don't say that too loud or Ryan Murphy will hear.
Oh, I don't mean anything bad about Sarah Paulson. She's great. She's not a pig at all, I promise.
She needs to she should be in some better shows. I think.
She's in an Ocean's movie, I think.
Oh, yeah. She's in Ocean's 8, I think.
I still have to watch that. I own it. It was like $5 on Black Friday, so I got it. Still haven't watched it.
I've heard a lot of good things about it, so.
I love the other Oceans movies, so it stands to reason I would like this one. Anyway, so Pig Paulson comes in. He's like, yeah, what's up? I'm Pig Paulson. And then Lothor says, finally, a monster with good wordplay. And I was like, this is no better than the frog you hated.
No.
Yeah, he's like, oh, finally, a monster that can, like, use a metaphor. And I'm like, he's just saying puns. That's not a metaphor.
That's not a metaphor.
No, it's not. And, like, later on in the episode, like, Pig Paulson's, like, his quips are not even, like, thematically consistent within his body of work.
Yeah,
so.
It's like they want to make both kung fu jokes and pork jokes and make neither a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So he's like, great, I love you. We cut to the next day. It's the demo. Shane's up next. I don't know what this means. I know a demo is short for demonstration. I don't know what the point of this is.
Maybe it's like, this is like Shane's equivalent of like, I'm practicing for when the factory comes by and I can send them my audition tape. This is me practicing for my audition tape.
It feels like a competition.
Yeah, it feels like a competition. Yeah. And so I was like, maybe it's for like sponsorships or something to get like noticed. But like Shane, also, bud, you got some bigger problems right now. You can't be a globe-trotting professional skateboarder right now.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, I'm nervous. And Dustin's like, you gonna do the fakey backslide rail grind thing? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm gonna try. I haven't got it to work yet, but maybe it'll work this time. Mm-hmm. And then Tori comes up, and Tori, and I just want to do a quick what was Tori wearing?
Yeah,
she has her shirt is very cute. It's like over the shoulder, but also a crop top. It's that like stretchy, like over the shoulder mm-hmm. one. Yeah. But then she's wearing jeans, but over the jeans she's wearing like a sarong.
Yeah.
It's a look, real choice.
It was 2003.
Oh boy, was it.
It's yeah. Because like, it's like, oh, I get it. She's like dressed up for her date. So she's wearing like a beach mm-hmm. skirt because it looks cute. But then there are just like whole ass jeans under it.
But look, it's because they knew that Tori was going to get to have some very good fighting. And that's true. They were like, it's easier to fight in jeans than to fight in a skirt.
That is true.
And it's less awkward to have to worry about like making sure that you're wearing shorts if you're fighting in a skirt.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's not wearing just like big bike shorts under it.
Yeah, she has to wear her Chuck Norris action jeans so she can do the good high kicks.
She does some great high kicks. Mm-hmm. So she's like, cool. He's like, all right, I'm going to go do that. And she's really distracted. And they're like, hey, Dustin's like, hey, is this Clone Tori again with the, mm-hmm. the terrible outfit and the camera thing? And she's like, no, I'm fine. Stop it. No, I'm not the Clone Tori again.
Which like, A, kudos to the writers for remembering something that happened like at this point almost 10 episodes ago, but right? also kudos to the boys for remembering something that happened 10 episodes ago.
It's refreshing because mm-hmm. a lot of times Power Rangers are like, we will never speak of this ever again. Yes. And then when they bring it up later, you're like, whoa, it's there. But this is like the quickest like turnaround from like mm-hmm. thing happening to them remembering it. And it's very nice.
Yeah, and it also shows how much they know her.
Dustin's just like, what if we killed the wrong Tori?
So she dips. She's like, all right, I'll be right back. And then she runs away and she starts using her ninja powers to run to like ninja jump to the movie theater.
Yeah. As she's like doing, I guess it's technically kind of like the ninja streak thing. Because she's doing like the, you know, like the I'm gonna run in super fast footage and like bounce off hills and things.
Yeah.
But as she's leaving, we get to like pan over, I guess, like the refreshment tent or the cool down tent where Mara is there with like, I think you described it as like a 70s wig, Jake. To me, it came across as like, you know, like Hairspray the Musical kind of a wig. It's that very like beehive puffy like hair.
Yeah.
And like Mara like sees her leave and use her ninja powers, and I think they like is this when she starts like radioing Capri?
Yeah, she like walkies her, and we cut over to Capri at the movie theater dressed like mm-hmm. an usher, and she has like a really terrible like blonde scene wig with like pink sticking out of it.
It's 2003 Hot Topic.
It's cut like pink tips. It's frosted hair with pink tips.
It's like, called she put a blonde wig over her natural hair. And so it's showing from underneath.
It's like a, it's like she highlighted the blonde wig with her hair color. But she's like, yeah. What do you mean she left? She's like, yeah. She just ran away. And she's like, all right. Well, I guess we'll figure something out. But then she like lands in the doorway that and mm-hmm. Blake and Hunter are there. And Capri's like, all right, never mind. Hold on, we might be good.
Yeah.
I don't know what the original plan was.
I think maybe their plan was like, hey, if we can get her in one location, then maybe we can, you know, like, separate her from the rest of the group and, like, take them out one by one kind of a thing.
Okay. That makes sense.
They needed to intercept her in the middle somewhere.
That would be that's the right play. But so she lands. She's like, hey, I'm here. What's up? Let's do a martial arts movie. And they're like, mm-hmm. cool, we got the ticket. She's like, dope, I'll buy popcorn.
Yeah.
So she goes to buy the popcorn and
she gets kind of like, Not assaulted, but bothered by this, like, you know, extremely cheesy-looking, like, chicken mascot. Like, hello, I'm here advertising the movie. I don't know why I'm a chicken.
Why is it a chicken?
I don't know. That's what costume they had in the closet. It
has to be.
She goes to get the popcorn, and it's in, like, an evil space popcorn container.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she looks at Capri, who's, like, the concessions attendant.
I was hoping that Tori would recognize Capri at this point.
No, she's got glasses and short hair.
It seemed like she was about to, because she's like, wait a minute. What's up with this popcorn topper? She's like, oh, it's leftover from our sci-fi thing we did last week. And they're like, okay.
And then Tori tries to pay, and Capri's just like, no.
It's free evil popcorn. All yours.
Yeah.
Here's the money for the popcorn. Hey, look. No, thank you.
Tori's a teen who may not have a job, so she's probably not going to turn down, you know, free popcorn for her date and his brother.
Yeah, so she's like, cool, here you go. I'll be right back. And I mean, this is clearly her play is I'm going to go to the bathroom. And she just, like, slams the popcorn into Hunter.
Except she runs back out the front door.
Yeah.
Look, someone paged her. She has to call them. So then she runs back.
Mm-hmm.
As she leaves, the chicken suit is also, like, right behind Blake and Hunter again, just to be like, there's a big chicken suit that looks like a burger for this Kung Fu movie marathon.
Yeah.
It acts like a usher.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I would hate to have that job. That seems like the worst job to have at a movie theater is be a big chicken there.
I would never go to Big Chicken Theater.
No, me either.
Alamo or nothing.
At this point, I think Blake and Hunter are kind of just like, okay, I guess we'll go get our seats and we're going to sit in the front because that's apparently to them the best seat in the house. Because
we're terrible at movies. I saw Detective Pikachu in the front row at the Alamo, and it sucked because you can't see the screen because it's right up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And Alamo has like space between the rows. If we would have been one back, we would have been fine. But the front row is real bad.
It's the worst.
So she runs back to the demo. She gets there just in time to miss Shane beefing it. He goes up to do his trick and he like just flies off his skateboard and lands on his ass.
Yeah. It looks like it hurt.
Yeah, it was a hell of a bump. And so she's like, yeah, go Shane.
Great job.
And then Dustin's like, no, don't. That was bad, Tori.
No, he just
I know you
ate
don't
it.
Skateboard.
And this is as Shane's coming up and he's like, he ate it. And she's like, oh, well, better luck next time then.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I'll go get you a drink.
You look thirsty. Like, gotta go.
Shane and Dustin like follow her, or at least like they watch her leave. And then they see her do the ninja streak and they're like, she's not supposed to be using her powers in public, right?
Hey, is that a new rule? And Shane's like, nope. And then Mara is there and she's like, all right, Zachy's, let's go. And they're like, oh, crap. But then the Zachies don't do anything, and she's like, go get him. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I kind of love the dumb Zachies.
They're very good.
Hey, can I just admit something?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know what about this episode like made it click, but you remember how like I felt about Archerina?
Yes.
No.
I think she's got competition in Mara.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
I don't know what happened. I was just like, oh, hey.
Oh, hey. Oh, sup, girl? How you living?
I just need to get that off my chest.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you didn't keep it in.
This is a safe place.
So they start fighting. There's a lot of cool chair stunts.
Yeah. I was very impressed with this fight and also how they were taking advantage of the fact that plastic lawn chairs and tables are, in fact, nigh indestructible.
Yeah, you can't break them and they don't weigh anything, so you can whip them in a guy as hard as you want and it won't do anything. I love when Power Rangers use their, like, environment, that those are always the best unmorphed fights, and they've been doing that a lot this season, which is really nice. And I just like how they were, like, this fight was, like, built around we're gonna grab chairs and hit you with them, you're gonna try to step on a chair, we're gonna kick it out from under you. A lot of good stuff. But they lose the fight, the Kelzaks do, and then Mara's like, all right, we're gonna go help Capri anyway, and then she disappears. She's like, they teleport out.
Yeah.
And then Shane and Dustin are like, okay. Like, bummer.
I guess I'll go get back in the pipe.
Then we cut to the Kung Fu movie, which is problematically dubbed. It's bad. It's the very stereotypical, terrible, like 70s overdubbing that is frankly kind of racist.
Yeah, lots of extremely loud and exaggerated, like, kung fu effects.
Yeah.
This is just a fake movie that a bunch of the stunt actors just, like, filmed, yeah. right?
The worst part is that all that stuff is so distracting, because if you watch the kung fu movie that's happening, it's actually pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It occurred to me during this scene, and I was like, what if this is a Frankie Chang movie?
I hope it's like a Frankie Chang Jen's. Movie.
I did some Googling, like, after I watched the episode, and I found nothing to support actually who the actors were, but I think at this point, the guy who played Frankie Chang in that Time Force episode was probably still working on Power Rangers as a stunt coordinator. So it might have been him. This might be a Frankie Chang flick.
I don't think the main guy is the same, but it definitely feels exactly the same as in Movie Madness when they were like, all right, stunt guys, like, go be free. Yeah. Do whatever you want.
Because, go have fun.
Yeah. And like, it's really cool. And they're all having fun doing this like ridiculous, like, you know, like Shaw Brothers motif thing. And it's really good. But then there's just this horrible like, and stuff over there, and I'm like, stop it.
Yeah. Kung Fu that. Sound effect one, Kung Fu sound effect two.
Yeah. Hunter and Blake are loving it though.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they don't really realize until it's too late that they are being sucked into the popcorn bucket.
Yeah. They're like, I think it's like Blake has the popcorn and he keeps like trying to like eat it all. And Hunter's like, no, bro, save me some popcorn.
he's like, are you going to eat all that yourself? And Blake's like, thinking about it. He's just shoveling handfuls of popcorn into his mouth.
Which is like a very brother move.
It is. Can confirm.
Everybody talks about that time the Power Rangers were baked into a pizza, but nobody ever mentions that time that they were swimming in popcorn butter.
Hey, everybody, how come you never mentioned that time that the two Power Rangers got sucked into the set of Double Dare and they have to swim in big popcorn butter?
Yeah, it was...
It's nasty.
It's gross, and it's only going to get worse.
It's disgusting.
And it is... It's not like in the pizza episode where they had the benefit of it being the Sentai footage, so they're in their suits, and it's just like a quick shot of them in a pizza.
It's like, nope, this is American footage.
Yeah, it is Blake and Hunter, the regular human people, in this gross popcorn water.
It's like
a couple popcorns around.
It's just like a little bit chunky. It's just like this nasty a snot little bit. Butter. It's so gross. Yeah.
It's not so bad when they're in there, but when they get out of it, it is like straight up like
it's like
applesauce. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Like they get sucked into the bucket of popcorn and everyone else in the theater just completely ignores the fact that this happened.
Yeah, it's suspicious almost.
It's almost suspicious. And like Tori comes in and she's like, I don't know, where are my fellow color-coded Power Rangers? And she finds the bucket and they're like, yelling like, Tori, down here.
We're in the popcorn.
And she looks at it and it's like teeny tiny Hunter and Blake in the bottom of this popcorn alien bucket.
And she's like, what happened? And then the chicken's like, hey, you're in a movie theater. Shh. And she's like, she turns around, she goes, oh, sorry, my friends are in the popcorn and I need to save them.
What a... She doesn't know that the chicken is pork chop yet.
No. It's the greatest line read, I think, in the history of Power Rangers, very though. Good.
There's another one coming up that might combat it for me.
Okay. Yeah,
it's very good.
But I also want to point out, everyone else in the theater is just sitting still with their hands in their laps and their heads down.
I didn't notice the first time through, like, when we go to see Hunter and Blake, but when Tori's coming in, everyone has big hats on with their, like, and they're hunched down.
They're very scrunched in.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, they're all Zackies. Oh, I get it. Everybody is a Zacky.
Yeah.
Turns out, yes, they are all Zackies. And this chicken was Pig Paulson. And I just want to, can we just talk about Pig Paulson's design for like a second?
It's not great.
Oh, I disagree. I think it rules. I think it looks like if a Moblin from Zelda was a Power Ranger monster, was a pro wrestler. And that is the perfect Venn diagram that I am in the center of.
I think that's a fair assessment. My opinion is mostly because it's like, he doesn't necessarily have like... to me, like, elements of his, like, you know, his everything that, like, super stand out and make him like, oh, hey, this is very clearly his shtick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's nothing like that. He is completely incongruous to what he's trying to do. Because yeah. I think he has like food jars. I think his big pauldrons are like takeout jar, like cases or something like that. Like, it's very strange. It doesn't make any sense. I just think he looks great.
That's valid.
But like ugly, but great in a sweet spot for me.
I think my problem with a lot of these later monster designs, and the reason I can't like remember any of these monsters, is because they're all very like, they've got a lot going on.
Then they're very brown. They're like, the colors don't really pop out.
I mean, he's got apparently General Trafe, Pork Paulson, Pig Paulson, whatever Pig his name Paulson. Was, has very like bright blue genie pants on.
Did not notice that even
didn't
once.
Didn't notice those at all.
I'd like to hear, maybe give a benefit of the doubt to, like, maybe this costume just got, like, super, like, sun washed out before they were able to, like, use right. it for Ninja Storm.
Yeah, maybe. Because I don't really remember when, like, in the Sentai footage, because later on he'll grow because it's a Power Rangers episode.
Yeah, it was Power Rangers.
And I think now that you've said he has blue pants, that, like, my brain has filled in that his pants are blue when he does that. But it's not really noticeable other than that. I just love his face. I just think he looks like a moblin that decided to be a pro wrestler.
You're allowed to have favorites. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to think about Pig Paulson forever. Not just because Pig Paulson, I think, would be a good professional wrestler name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He's no Pudgy Pig.
Well, no, but who is, Josh? The answer is Pumpkin Rapper and nobody else.
Oh, God bless Pumpkin Rapper.
So there's a big fight. Tori is fighting in one aisle of a movie theater, which is, you know, 1 foot wide, and it's very well done.
Yeah, it is super good. She's doing a whole bunch of, you know, like, okay, it's another game of Ninja Storm keep away.
Yes.
This time it's the popcorn bucket, but she's doing a lot of, you know, like, holding this bucket with the thunders, like, very close to her chest and, you know, doing lots of, like, kicks and flips to try and get away from the Zackies. There's some fun parts where they, like, shoot it from behind, so, you know, you can see, like, Tori fighting, but then also, like, the actors fighting in the movie that they're watching.
Yeah.
And that was some fun, you know, like, I can't think of the word right now.
Juxtaposition,
thank you, yeah.
I like that that when you see the movie, it's not just, like, Tori's doing what the movie's doing, because that would be really easy to do, but it's like, Tori's having her own fight with her own environment, and there's this big, like, 8 guys surrounding Frankie Chang Jr. and they're fighting. It's just like, oh, they're just what's going on in the background. It looks really cool.
It is.
We cut into the popcorn bucket, which, so they're up to their like ankles, like,
yeah,
like it's like past their ankles in popcorn butter, which means that when they gave them this popcorn, they had to pour like a full cup of artificial butter on it, which is nasty.
Yeah, 2003, what's cholesterol?
Right? Like, hey, y'all love trans fats? Here they all are.
It's like when they got the popcorn and they were like, hey, could you put the butter at the bottom and at the top?
is this like a milk and cereal situation where some people put the milk in and then pour the cereal on top? They're like, put the butter in and then put the popcorn on top of it. I want it to seep up. You know, like how popcorn butter does.
I think this is when Blake is just frustrated that they're sloshing around in this butter pool. And he's like,
I think that's next.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a little bit later on. Because right now they try to morph, but they can't.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because artificial butter got in their morphers.
It's all gacked up.
It's all gacked up. It's so nasty. Mm-hmm. We cut from there because they get the bucket. The bad guys get the bucket and then just leave. And Tori's like, uh-oh. And then we just cut from there to Ninja Ops, where Sensei's like, hey, Tori, you did bad.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to use your powers for personal gain. It's like the first thing that we talk about.
Not even your Power Ranger powers, just like your ninja abilities.
Your ninja powers.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I really boned this one up. I'm sorry. And then Sensei says something to the effect of like, but on the other side...
I think Shane was saying, either Shane or Tori was like, if I hadn't been at the movie theater, then like maybe this wouldn't have happened. But I think then Sensei says some, you know, like, hey, we can't know the future. We just got to live in the now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, more kung fu.
she's trying to be like, if I wasn't running back and forth, then like we would have been fine. But then Sensei's like, well, also, if you were just at one place or the other, like you could have been captured. We can't predict the future.
Yeah, because like if she would have not gone to the movie theater, then Blake and Hunter would have just been kidnapped in popcorn and we'd never see them again. Right.
Yeah. Like, and then she'd be sad.
Yeah. So I think Sensei's like, all right, I'm going to give you the I'm going to let you off a little easy. You will have chores later. But like right now we got a different problem to solve.
Yeah.
So she's like, all right, let's do this. So they morph and then they go right from the morph into hang gliders.
Yes. I think Cam did, you know, like the tech thing and was like, oh, hey, the monster's at the top of the tower. Yeah. The Venturi gets to lead the morph and they have to, I guess, use the ninja gliders to catch an updraft in the city and get to the top of the tower.
Y'all know about thermals from Animorphs. You know how Tobias always rode the thermals and that's how every single person in our generation knows about it.
Yes.
I think they had to do that. I think they had to catch the thermals.
Shane screams his joy of flying in the glider, how he loves every time they get to do it.
Well, they've only done it once, right? Because they did it in the first episode. They haven't done it since, but he's brought it up a couple times. Like, definitely on the island, he's like, can we just hang glide off? And they're like, no. He's like, God damn it.
Those are gliders. You can't fly across an ocean with those, Shane. And he's like, well, we could try.
His ninja element is air. He likes being in his element. He wants to use the cool gliders. I bet if they had ninja surfboards. If they had ninja surfboards, Tori would be like all over that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they will. That would be dope.
They already have ninja bikes and ninja gliders.
Look, complete the trio.
Ninja jet skis. I'm in.
Ninja jet skis. Yes.
Oh, that'd be so good.
They land on the roof and they're Pig Paulson's there and he's like, haha. And then he makes a big portal behind him. He's like, you're going to have to come catch me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he jumps
into
the
portal. If
you want
to rescue your friends, come fight me in my house.
Now, does he have the popcorn bucket with him when he jumps into the portal? Because later it will seem like the answer is no.
I lost track of the popcorn. We cut back inside of it, but I don't know where it was at that
I
point.
I don't either.
Maybe it's like a Chubo situation where it's just like in his backpack or like in one of his various like pot pauldrons kind of a thing.
Maybe. I don't know. It seems like he put it down on the roof and then jumped in the portal and they were like, all right, guys, we'll be back. You stay a popcorn. And they ran in. Cam's like, hey, this thing's only going to be open for 10 minutes. And also, I cannot talk to you when you are in the portal. So, like, be careful.
Cam says, oh, this portal won't hold for more than 10 minutes. And I was like, good thing there's 9 minutes left in this episode, including credits.
Yep. So they jump in and they land in a quarry, like face down in a quarry. And Shane's like, not another rock quarry.
Yeah.
Zinger.
Shane, I got bad news for you, bud. It's rock quarries all the way down.
This season is just a crazy like amalgamation of a bunch of other Power Rangers. Like it's a greatest hits of other Power Rangers seasons. Because isn't the like not another rock quarry or like that kind of wink wink nudge nudge genre savviness the whole thing with RPM?
I don't think so.
I think RPM is like from what I've heard, RPM is. It's not so winky about it, but it's more like, hey, y'all seen Power Rangers before? Like, we don't need to explain anything to you because you've seen Power Rangers before.
Yeah.
At least for the first half, I hear they switched out showrunners for the second, but I'm not sure what happened.
I feel like, if I'm remembering correctly, that RPM was like, I think it was maybe the last Disney show, and so it was like this might be the absolute end of Power Rangers. Let's hit the high points and try and get ourselves picked up by something.
Yeah, from what I heard, like when it was, because I was in college when it aired, and one of my editing teachers mentioned it. Well, this is before I got back into Power Rangers, because before I graduated, moved back home, and they released a big box set. So I just mentioned Power Rangers or something, and he's like, oh, RPM, blah, 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 and he was really dorky about it. I just remember him being, like, really the internet about it, and like, it's like, yeah, it's like a cool show, like, it's smart and good, and I was like, oh, I get it. We don't need to talk about this anymore, actually. Yeah. But from what I heard is that Disney was like, do whatever you want. Power Rangers is over after this. Like, we'll give you one last season, but that's it. And then they didn't like how, like, I guess mature and smart it was, And so they replaced the showrunner with Judd Chip Lynn halfway through, and he kind of like picked up the threads, but it wasn't as good from there. I don't know. It's very nebulous. Yeah. I'm excited to watch it, and I hope I like it because everybody's talked it up like a lot. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's good. I imagine it will be, but
I feel like we're not going to like it.
I'm worried. I'm really worried. Cause like, especially because like if it is like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge season, like Ninja Storm does it like in a sweet spot where they don't like look at the camera and be like, hey, it's stupid. These things we do on Power Rangers, right? Right. Because that's how everybody sold the new Voltron show to me. And I was like, number one, I don't like Voltron. I do not want to watch Voltron. Thanks for trying. But I get it. I like giant robots coming together and teams of five. I love that stuff. Don't care about Voltron. And number two, there's like a scene where like one guy's like, why do we always stop and pose this way? And I'm like, hey, why did you do it if you want to point out how stupid it is?
Yeah. It's I feel like there it's that it follows that kind of modern day trend that I think we're getting away from of like, hey, we have to acknowledge how cheesy this thing is that we're doing. We can't allow any like suspension of disbelief or immersion into the media. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's remind people they're watching a show.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. I just would like to watch a show, actually. And if you want to just be cool about it, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so they land in the quarry and they start fighting. This is when we cut to Blake and Hunter, and Blake is extremely mad about this butter because it's not even real butter.
He yells, it's not even real butter.
And he does like a
big kick. We're
going to
be destroyed by artificial flavoring.
We're going to be destroyed by artificial flavoring.
And he goes, he kicks the butter. And again, he's like, it's almost up his calf.
We started the scene with Hunter and Blake trying to like reach out of the bucket by standing on each other's shoulders up against the wall of it.
But it is a popcorn butter oubliette, so it comes to the point, so you can't just reach the top. Mm-hmm. And so they land, and he's so mad, he's like, oh, we're going to be surrounded by it. And he does this kick, and he just like flies onto his ass.
Yeah.
He's so mad at this popcorn, but he lands on... He picks up this big corn pop.
Yep.
And Hunter's like, is that what I think? And he's like, yeah, the unpopped kernels at the bottom of the bucket. We can use these to pop our way out.
Orthodontists hate them. Power Rangers love them.
This episode is half, like the Wind Ranger half is a Mighty Morphin episode. And then the Thunder Ranger half is a Turbo episode.
Yeah.
But they it's come great. Together very it's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, man. That's why I think Turbo is good, actually. It gets a lot of crap, but it's only because the first half was really boring. So then they start doing like a Naruto pose with their hands to charge up Chidori.
Nerd.
There's a bunch of lightning. Look, it's a good series. It's a good manga. I don't know what to tell you. Then we cut to Lothar in the movie theater, who's getting a private screening of Pork Chopped, the Power Rangers episode.
Which is great. I love this.
Mara is standing right in front of him, and she's mad about something, and I don't remember what.
She's mad that they're not watching like a rom-com.
Right.
There's too much action in this thing they're watching.
And Lothar says something that my dad has said to me my entire life. Well, my mom and dad have said to me, which is, you make a better door than a window to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And she goes up to, and Capri is there, and Capri is like in this, like, because she's wearing her like uniforms, her like concessions uniform still. And she is in this, like, the most disaffected pose you could have mustered. And it's really funny. And then, like, Mara just like trounces over to her. She like, she's like, do, 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 and then sits down next to her. It's very fun.
Yeah.
And then Lothar's like, shut up, Zergane. We're at the movie theater. I don't remember what Zergane was saying. He's like, we're at the movies. Shut up. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to
we get to go to the next episode of Dragon Ball Z where Hunter and Dustin are still doing.
They're going to keep doing that for like another couple seconds.
Yeah.
So Big Paulson has a snout attack, which he goes snout attack, and then a bunch of disembodied pig noses fly around the screen like cuckoos in Zelda and attack them.
It's the worst. I don't like that. I'm going to clone just my nose and have that attack you.
It's just gonna sniff you so much. You're gonna get so sniffed.
All your smells are going to be gone. Then who's got the upper hand?
Yeah.
So he throws a big pot lid at them, which looks like the topper of the popcorn jar. He throws it at them. Shane jumps on it and rides it like a skateboard.
He rides this porcelain lid around like it's a flying disc, like he's Static Shock or something.
Yeah. This is exactly how Static Shock did. Mm-hmm. And then he flies it into Porkchop's face and hits him with it.
Yeah.
And they lands and they do the Storm Striker and they blow him up. And the portal just sucks them out of the sky. It's just like, and they just like fly away.
They do some like, as they do, you know, the Storm Striker, like everyone gets in like a pork related pun. And then they get out of the portal and Dustin keeps making jokes about pork.
And they like their masks are down, so like it's like Glenn McMillan's face doing it, and it's a little weirder when they're out when their masks are down.
Yeah,
and they do the bad puns because I'm like, oh, now I have to watch you make the bad pun, and I don't want that.
It's the difference between Peter Parker and Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then we cut back to the popcorn bucket, which this is why I think he just left it on the roof is because. They explode it and they shoot out like it's in like the end of Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
And then they land in this pile and then butter splashes on them. Yeah. And then a bunch of like chunky kernels land on them. Yeah, and it's extremely nasty.
They get bulked.
They get bulked.
They had some kind of poor production assistant with just like cups of the leftover gack from the popcorn bucket, just like chucking them from off screen. And the Wind Rangers are just like, don't touch me.
They're like 4 feet back and they're like, please don't splash on us. These are dry clean only. Please don't.
By the way, Hunter and Blake did get out of the popcorn bucket by using their electric static powers to pop the remaining kernels, and that boosted them out of the popcorn bucket.
Yeah.
Because Power Rangers.
Obviously, right? It makes perfect sense. But then we see in the background, Pig Paulson grows, and he's like, do you think you could kill me in my own dimension, dummy? And then, as he's growing, it's not like, I think it's the first time we've ever seen, at least, one of the very few times we've ever seen like someone actually grow and not just like do that camera trick where you like lower the camera and look up, but like it's a green screen. He's just like standing behind a building, like getting larger.
Yeah.
Mara and Capri and the Zaki show up and Hunter's like, all right, Shane, you go take care of that big guy. We're going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Cause their morphers are still ruined.
Cause their morphers are still all gacky.
Because the Thunder Rangers aren't in a lot of the Zord fight footage, I guess.
No, because this is clearly an early episode from before the Thunder Rangers showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's nothing is more evident that it's an early episode than the fact that when they get in their Zords, they do an individual Zord fight for the first part of it, which they never do after like the fifth episode.
I liked the fact that they were still, you know, like, hey, let's do a Zord fight, but let's not put it together just yet.
I love that, because they have like, they each have like individual things they can do that they cannot do once they are together.
Yeah. You're not supposed to escalate the battle unless you're forced to.
Yeah. And I just, I really like it. And they just, no one ever does it after like the first episode with Zord. So it's like first time you use your things and then later on you learn how to put them together.
Here's all the features that the individual toys have. We're never going to show this again.
Yeah. And then once you make Megazord, you never go back from Megazord. But they do this time and it's very good. As we are cutting between the individual Zord fight and just some nasty double dare stunts.
So gross.
Yeah.
Of Hunter like breakdancing just to spread a bunch of nasty butter around so that the Zackies will all slip through it.
At one point, Blake is fighting a bunch of them and he does like a tuck and roll but leaves this like nasty splat of booger butter behind him that takes the Zackies out.
Yeah, like Blake's actor is clearly having like a lot of fun with this fight scene because they get to do a lot of, you know, like slapstick humor. Like I'm gonna throw leftover butter gack in your face, and I'm gonna leave a snail trail behind for you to slip on.
Oh no!
Return of the snail trail.
At one point, Blake like he brings his hands up and he has booger butter gauntlets. And he's like. Bring it on. Just like the Matrix, like, come on. And the Zackies surround him, and then he like smacks two of them in the face, but he must have done like a full rotation because the next shot is all the Zackies with booger butter on their face.
Yeah.
And then he beats them all up. It's very Jackie Chan if Jackie Chan competed on Double Dare.
Right.
For a trip to space camp or some tuna fish.
Or he had a fight scene on the set of Double Dare.
Yeah, if his movie brought him into... Man, I would watch the hell out of that movie.
I feel like this is the most actual personality we've seen out of Blake thus far.
Yeah,
I mean personality aside from, you know, like, I think Tori's very pretty. I don't know how to talk to her.
Tori is pretty, but also we're Thunder Rangers with ulterior motives. But now he's just like, I'm going to fight with this booger butter. If I'm covered in it, I'm going to use it and I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Blake's personality is that he's just like kind of chill and collected. But, like, it's just him and his brother fighting monsters with cover after they were just in popcorn.
There's only one thing that makes like, him just let loose. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And that's artificial flavoring.
Is that your favorite line, Reed?
That is. I love it. I was cracking up after he said that.
Cam's like, hey, you're going to need to put the turtle mace and the ram hammer together into its own weapon. And they're like, okay, we'll do that. So they do that, and it's just a big cup and ball.
Yeah, it's the cup and ball toy.
You know, cup and ball where you bounce it back and forth and you catch the ball in the cup?
Yeah.
It's that bow weapon.
You bounce it back and forth to charge it up, and then you throw it at your little brother.
Yeah.
And you smash him in the eye, and he goes running and cries to your mom, and so you throw the cup and ball out the window, and it's never heard from again.
So then that kills Pig Paulson. The cup and ball killed Pig Paulson.
At one point, I don't remember when it is. It might have been when he grew or when they were fighting him when he was small, but he gets up at one point and he's like, the swine is fine.
That's barely anything.
I don't remember that, but I believe it.
Just like a perfect metaphor.
When he gets blown up, his parting shot is, this little pig is going home. And I'm like, okay, yes.
Okay, bye.
They were scraping the bottom of the barrel for pig-related humor.
I think so. I think they had exhausted their Yahoo search or whatever.
Except for the next scene, which has terrifying implications.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of love this, but it is horrifying.
It is terrifying because, like, after, you know, after he gets blown up and everything, and, like, the Megazord is like, yeah, we did it. We get to cut to Lothar's spaceship, where everyone is passing around a plate of ribs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And and somebody says something like, man, it really stinks that Pig Paulson didn't do a good job. And then Lothar's like, yeah, but I've made it so that he can never fail me again. Mara, would you like some ribs? And Mara's like, I'm not going to eat Pig Paulson.
Yeah. And she's like, I think I'm vegetarian. And it like they have and like Lothar takes like a baby back rib or whatever off the plate. And like that is like that is the most spare of spare ribs that I have ever seen. It's maybe like an ounce of meat on that bone. Yeah.
It's not even the implication that they're going to eat it. He straight up takes a big bite out of it.
Yeah.
It's like they all but say, this is Pig Paulson. We cooked his dead body.
And we're eating him.
And we're eating him at a barbecue. Because right before, because after the Thunders beat the Kelzaks, they like square up to Mara. And it's also very kung fu movie because they're just like in the zone, right? And and Mara and Capri are like, we need to go. And Capri's like, yeah, we're late for a barbecue. And then they disappear.
Yeah.
And then there is a barbecue. But the way Lothar phrased it, he's like, we barbecued Pig Paulson.
Yeah, it's not a barbecue. It's a hog roast.
I'd like to point out that, like, as like, capital E evil as, like, as Rancic got and as, you know, just a terrible person as Master Orc was, neither of them ever cooked and ate their minions.
No. I feel like Lothar came close. I feel like Lothar did. I feel like Rancic came close. I feel like if anything, he might have implied that like he was going to do bad things. But we never get visual evidence of them killing their downed minions.
Mm-hmm.
Wowzer Bowser.
Yeah.
Then we come back to Ninja Ops and Tori is mopping because she's in trouble. So she's going to mop the floors. And then Blake comes in. He's like, throw the mop away, Cinderella. I got two more tickets, two brand new discreet tickets to the film festival we already had tickets for. What, Blake?
I got tickets for the next showing that they're going to do when they're not being overtaken by aliens.
Maybe that's happened.
And what also happened? this time I only have two, so my brother's not coming.
He can't come.
Let's go back. What happened to the staff the first time?
I don't know.
Maybe they put the movie theater staff in bubbles like they did with all the ninjas. Right. And now they just have an entire movie theater staff on the spaceship.
I think maybe they just tied him up in the back or something, because like they go to the movies next, and it's like if everyone in any given business was all kidnapped at once, it would be closed the next day, right? Like no matter what, for sure.
maybe in Power Rangers where businesses have mercy.
But yeah, she's like, no, I can't. They're just like kind of cute flirting at each other. And she's like, I should have just told you I had plans. Like, yeah, I would have understood. I get it.
And he says, I'm not good with dates either.
Yeah.
And like, they make sad faces at each other. And it's like, they both realize that he said dates in the sense of like, I'm not good at scheduling things, but also I'm not good at dating in the romantic sense.
And going on dates. And she's like, oh, and she looks down. Sensei's right next to them this whole time. Because when he comes in, he's like, throw away the mop, we're going to the movies. And Sensei's like, ahem. And he's like, oh, never mind.
He said something about a pig.
Something about a pig, yeah.
Yeah, and then Sensei was like, ahem. And he's like, well, not you. Which is like, that's nothing. Because he's not a pig, he's a guinea pig. And like,
he's a guinea pig, though.
But it's not a pig.
But he said no pigs, but there's one kind of pig, and that's a guinea pig that is not a pig.
Yeah.
Checkmate, Josh.
You've got me.
When Blake and Tori, like, have the awkward, like, I'm sorry, I'm not good with dating kind of a conversation, the social awkwardness become the social tension is too much for Tori, and she says, oh, look, there's a spot on the floor. I must go clean it.
I will go spot
over to there.
Goodbye, Blake.
Yeah, she doesn't know what to do with her feelings, so she goes to clean, which, like, relatable.
She just walks like 15 feet away, though. She's like, just don't look at me. Please don't look at me anymore.
Do they live here?
No. We've gone over this. If they lived here, they wouldn't be late all the time.
Yeah. The Thunders might.
But I don't feel like they're late coming from home. They're always late coming from work or like a skateboarding event or something.
I mean, there was an episode where they did talk about having parents. So presumably they have places to live that are not Ninja Ops.
Yes. And both Dustin and Shane have sisters. We'll probably never see them, but they have both been mentioned.
I feel like if you're gonna mention them,
you should do something. Well, look, we got 20 more episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Anyway, so then Blake's like, well, now what am I gonna do with this other ticket? And he does not think to bring his brother.
Yeah.
We cut to the movie theater, and it's Blake by himself eating popcorn, just enjoying the hell out of this Frankie Chang Jr. movie. And then we hear Sensei say, oh, why do I always sit behind a tall person? Which, relatable. But he's also looking big. He's this tall.
So yeah, he teeny.
And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. Hey, do you want some popcorn? And Sensei pulls out his own little tiny
bucket of popcorn.
Where did he get all of his hamster-sized accessories?
It's a ninja secret.
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, like, Blake and Sensei ended up going to have bonding time while watching kung fu movies. Which is super nice.
Yeah, and then that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
The episode just ends with them just, like, chilling out watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christina, you are our guest, so you can start.
That I am.
What's the best?
See, I'm not gonna lie. When I picked this episode, I hadn't pre-watched it, and I was hoping this was gonna be, like, a super big, like, Tori episode, so we could be like, yes, we love Tori!
Yeah.
But I'm trying to decide what I want the best to be. I feel like it might just be, like, all of the unmorphed fight scenes in this episode, because they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Both, like, with choreography, but also, you know, like, the actual people doing the fighting.
Yeah.
They had lots of interesting scenarios, you know, like let's fight using popcorn gack, but also let's fight using plastic lawn furniture.
Yeah. They were all really unique too.
Yeah, cool. They had gimmicks. They weren't just like generic mook fight number 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cuz I feel like in Wild Force the four times they fought Nutties, it was just like at a dock.
They kicked them and they fall down again.
And that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, what about you? What's the best?
I did like the fights a lot, but I think the best has to be the artificial flavoring.
That's also valid.
How Blake wants to fight it as a concept.
My best is the, sorry, my friends are in the popcorn and I need to save them line. It is the greatest thing. She is so sincere about it.
It is like, something that you could genuinely say in a town in which Power Rangers is happening.
Yeah, and it's so matter of fact. And like, she doesn't know that that's the monster, but I think at this point she's like, figured it out because her friends are in a popcorn now.
Yeah.
I love it. Christina, what's the worst?
I think I'm stuck between whether to make the worst the fact that the big bad of the series did in fact cook and eat one of the mooks, or whether to make the worst just how absolutely ruined with a T the Thunders were with artificial buttergack.
Yeah, that was nasty.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the sympathy vote and make it them being ruined with butter gack, because okay. I watched this episode and I wanted to go take a shower. From like just the sympathy of like you're gonna have to scrub at least like 5 times to get rid of whatever like substance that was that they used in this episode.
Yeah, it's grainy. It's like grits.
They put grits in like yellow water.
Yeah, it's gross. Josh, what's your worst?
I think it's them eating Pig Paulson.
See, I don't know. I kind of like that because it's fun way to just show that he's a horrible, horrible person, even though he's jokey.
Yeah, he's making he's making light of the situation, which is like, I don't know, the darkest thing we've ever seen.
It's a terrifyingly sociopathic thing to have in Power Rangers.
Yeah, my jaw just like hit the floor when he was like, I've made it so he can't fail me again, as he's holding a plate of ribs and bacon.
I don't know. I like it.
What's yours then, Jake?
I think my worst is definitely the big snotty grit gack butter booger that it just looked awful. A lot of times when Power Rangers has like food in the, or you know, you're watching something, there's like food on the TV, you're like, man, I would like to eat that food. I don't think I ever want to have popcorn ever again.
Yeah.
For like a little while at least. Like I'm definitely taking a break from popcorn because of how nasty this artificial butter was. Or from now on, when I go to the movies, I'll be like, hey, is this real butter? I need to know.
I will not be destroyed by this artificial flavoring.
I will not brook an artificial butter.
Can you give me a bucket of plain popcorn and then I can use my own butter that I brought in?
I melted butter previously to now, and I will use it myself. Thank you. Christina, who is the MVP?
I think I kind of want to make the MVP. I really want to say that it's Tori because she does a lot of like, I can relate to, you know, the whole like, hey, I double booked myself, so I'm going to try and hang out with both of my friends that I double scheduled. But I also kind of want to give it to Blake just because he had a lot of fun stuff and also was cute with Tori. I think I'm going to go ahead and stick with Tori, though, because I stan and I support her.
Fair. Josh.
It's a tough one because it's a weird, like, it's definitely a team episode. Everybody gets stuff, but there's a Tori and Blake story buried in it.
The Tori story.
I think it's between the two of them. And I think I want to give it to Blake, but he also didn't really do anything except get stuck in butter and say a funny line.
I mean, that it doesn't matter how much they did. It's just like, who in your heart is the MVP?
So I think I'm going to give it to Blake. I think he was the most enjoyable for me that he's been this season and the most enjoyable part of this episode.
Yeah.
I also was debating between those two Rangers. It's a good episode for Blue Rangers. Like, I think we can all just agree on that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it to Blake, despite the fact that Tori delivered maybe the best line read in the history of Power Rangers, which I will remind you, the second best at this point is I'm on my side, because I've been thinking about that since 1998. But I it was so good, and she was really great. But Blake, every time he was on screen, was like, just delightful. And then when he's doing the nasty booger butter fight at the end, like he just watched a kung fu movie, and so now he's doing kung fu movie moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very good.
It's like when you watch a Fast and Furious movie and you drive home very fast afterwards.
I don't drive, so I've never done that.
I don't watch Fast and Furious, so I've never done that.
You're both missing out in different ways.
So I know.
Tell you what, I'll watch a Fast and a Furious when they actually admit to just being Power Rangers Turbo 2.
It's just superhero movies, but their power is cars.
They're the dumbest movies that anyone's ever made, and they are just awesome.
but yeah, I'm going to give it to Blake. A final verdict for me. All right, so now we got to rank it.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't forget to rank.
We always forget when we have guests on, but we got to rank it. Last episode, The Boxing Bopperoo, was the worst single episode not part of a multi-parter. So that is at the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's at the beginning of that.
Than that.
At the beginning of that episode, like after we watched it, we came back and I said, I think the honeymoon is over. And y'all, I think I'm back on the honeymoon because this episode was very fun.
Got to find the docu. Okay, I'm in it.
All right. I'm looking at Snippet Snippet Good.
That's right where my eyes went to.
I feel like I like this better than Snippet Snippet Good.
I think so. What happened in Nowhere to Grow?
That was the...
That's the plant one. They had to, like, go fight the plant monster that was, like, multiplying, and they did...
There's like a special spring that was definitely a swamp that was made of mineral water that grew the plants.
Cam went there and got it. Okay. Yeah. I don't think this is better than that because there's nothing better than like a regular person helping Power Rangers do Power Rangers stuff.
But Josh, artificial butter flavoring.
That's not good. That's not good than plain clothes Cam fighting a monster.
I see, but I don't know. I think we're forgetting the terrible Goosebumps dad.
Oh, we are. That was that episode.
The professor. And then also the fact that the monster just had a regular human voice.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm willing to put it above Nowhere to Grow, but I don't think it goes above
I don't think it's better than the three-parter. Yeah. All right. So coming in at number three, Pork Chopped.
Woo.
Good job, Pig Paulson. You did it. You were not eaten in vain.
Your sacrifice was not in vain. Christina, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank y'all for letting me be on the show. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Power Rangers is fun.
I'm glad. This is a blast. Where can people find you and your stuff online?
Okay, I don't have a list quite as long as y'all's.
Good. No one should.
I am most likely going to be found on Twitter. My Twitter is @CWoodsArt. Aside from that, at this point I have three podcasts. My first podcast is The Humphrey Riddle Sees, where we talk about original characters, the good, the bad, and self-inserts. Jake and Josh have both been on it, as well as a whole spate of other Morphin Grid guests. And it's fun. It's my baby. I love it. Then my second podcast is Faithful, which is where my friend Emma and I talk about portrayals of faith and religion in popular culture and media. I honestly, at this point, do not know what episode will have come out most recently whenever this episode airs, because we don't have anything scheduled yet.
But we're like 3 weeks ahead on these, so who
knows? Okay, yeah, who knows? And my newest podcast is Loser Like Me, which is a Glee recap podcast that I do with my friend and co-host Tanner, also guest on the Morphin Grid.
Former guest.
Yeah, and we have a lot of, I'm going to just say, we certainly have a capital T time when we rewatch Glee, because it is buck wild, this show.
I guessed it on an episode.
Yeah, Jake guessed it on an episode that will be out sometime in probably July, because Tanner and I got way ahead of ourselves when we started doing this podcast.
I just want to say that I ruined my Netflix algorithm. And now in my keep watching queue, there's just Glee sitting there staring at me. And I hate to break it to Glee, but never gonna happen.
That's okay.
It was a fun time talking about it, though.
Yeah, it is fun to be discussing Glee as absolutely almost Power Rangian in how nuts the and just how incredibly ridiculous everything that happens on Glee is.
Radical. Thank you very much again for coming on. Josh, what are we doing next? This is a three-parter, but what's it called?
Oh, crud. It's something of the... The Samurai's Journey, Part 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a very interesting series of episodes for y'all, and I'm looking forward to hearing your reactions to it in 3 to 4 weeks.
It'll be in a little bit. It is also a three-parter again, because the devil has cursed us, and we will do all three of those in 1 week. Just from present time, before the four-parter has even aired, your boy's stressing on how we're all going to get it out in 1 week. I think I can make it work, but it's not going to be fun. And one episode is very short, and I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we will see you next week for The Samurai's Journey. All of them. But until then,
may the power protect you.
You did the whole thing. We don't ever do that.
Look, I got to make my first episode on Morphin Grid Dynamic. I got to be in, entertaining enough that y'all want me back on the show.
I mean, I think if you would like to come back on, your spot is secured.
He lets me keep coming back.
Yeah, I let Josh come back every, twice a week. So.